In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the center of the five books of Moses, that is, in the center of the book of Leviticus, there was a day. This day also happened to land on the central month of the year. On that day, the rebellion of mankind was atoned for. It was paid for in blood and carried away from the people. They were to repeat this every year, so they would know and they would learn and they would teach how they were saved from the consequence of sin, how they were saved from hell, from the righteous punishment of exile, from the good and holy presence of God. This day was called the Day of Atonement. This ransom, this atonement, this payment was made with the lives of two goats. The point of it, that it was living and that there was blood. The two goats, first goat was sacrificed and its blood was sprinkled all the way into the most holy place on the Ark of the Covenant that held the Ten Commandments, that held Aaron's staff, that held a jar of manna. This is where God promised to come down to his people and bless them. The only one allowed behind that curtain was the high priest. This is the only time of the year that this high priest went behind that curtain. The only way he was able to do that was by being cleansed by the word of God and blood. He put this blood on a particular place, right in the middle of the Ark of the Covenant. It's called the mercy seat. That was specifically where God would be found to bless his people. That's where he sprinkled the blood seven times. But this same blood was also sprinkled on the altar outside of the most holy place, so that it was cleansed for the daily divine service, the daily sacrifices that they had for the sins of the people. With this in mind, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is very similar to the Passover lamb that was sacrificed each year. According to God's word, in that rite, the people of God learned how he saved them from death by the blood of an innocent lamb, a male about a year old without blemish. This Day of Atonement was a clear work of God to pay for the sin of the people so that he could come down and bless them with life, so he could dwell among them and they would not be destroyed but be declared holy in him by the blood of innocent life. But remember, there were two goats. They were both presented at the door to the holy place, to the tabernacle, to the temple. One was for the Lord. That was the one that was sacrificed. And the other was outward. One went in, this one went out. The second goat escaped the presence of the Lord, hence the name scapegoat. The high priest, the same high priest who entered the most holy place with the blood of the first goat, now comes to this live one. He puts his hands on its head and confesses the sin of the people upon it. He speaks in the stead of all of mankind. That means the sin of the people is bound to this goat, transferred, attached to this life. And this live goat was sent out to the ash heap, the ash heap of refuse where all the extra bits from the sacrifices were burnt. He was sent out to Azazel, to the ash heap, that is, to Satan, to the place where there is no life, to the desert, to the wasteland. He was exiled, bearing the sin of the people. One pastor put it like this. Thus, on this most holy day, the most holy person in Israel performed the most holy rite in the most holy place with the most holy blood from the most holy animals so that the sinful Israelites could have safe access to their most holy God. Again, we consider, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom Isaiah preaches and prophesies. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. You have that language of weight, of something being attached to him. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. In those words, we see both the scapegoat and the sacrificial lamb, sacrificial goat. Even more clearly, Isaiah says, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What did the high priest do but lay the sin of the whole people on that goat? By oppression and judgment, he was taken away, that is, exiled. He was cut out from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of the people. And yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. And he shall bear their iniquities. Because this scapegoat, because this sacrifice has poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, because he bore the sin of all and makes intercession, prays for the transgressor. This is how, and this is describing Jesus as the new Israel and as the second Adam. We heard in the Old Testament reading how Adam rebelled. He was there with Eve, and yet he did not teach. He did not stand up for God's word. He did not stand up and protect his wife. But he rebelled. Israel, too, grumbled and rejected the Lord countless times. And yet both Adam and Israel were named sons. Adam was called the son of God, and Israel was named the firstborn son. That's why in Matthew, when Jesus is described as being carried down to Egypt with Joseph and Mary to escape Herod, when they go back up, what is the word? Out of Egypt I have called my son. So Jesus is in the place of Israel, of God's people, but also in the place of Adam. So he stands for all of you. He carried their rebellion and guilt, and he carries our rebellion and guilt and shame unto death and into exile. Unto death he was led and willingly went. There he died in the place of Israel and all mankind, so that the temple curtain was in fact torn in two when he died. That curtain that divided the holy place, the people of Israel, from the presence of God, it was torn in two when he died. Because his blood has atoned for the sin of all. So that most holy place, God himself, is open to every single one of us. Through Jesus' death, through the blood of the Lamb, he has opened the way to everlasting life in the presence of God Almighty, the Most Holy One. But remember this language. He has also borne or carried the sin of all people into exile. Remember his words on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is one who is not near God. One who has been purposely and intentionally cast out. That's what he confessed from the cross. So that in the gospel reading this morning, recounting the temptation of Jesus, you heard some of this same imagery again. Right before this, right before he went out into the desert, right before the Spirit led or he was driven out, Jesus was baptized. He was anointed. He was chosen and set apart to be the Savior, to bear the sins of all the people. What was it, to fulfill all righteousness that he was baptized? And what did the Father say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now leave my presence and take the sins of the people with you. So Jesus was cast out into the wilderness with the wild beast, to Azazel, to Satan. But unlike that goat, he didn't die in the desert, nor did he fail as both Adam and Israel. He conquered and endured in our place. He did this by being faithful to his Father and to the promises of Holy Scripture, which are the same thing. So now we have a refuge when tempted. When our desires and the words of Satan and the world try to drive us to do those things against God's most holy word. But even this temptation, as we see it, is a fulfilling of that Day of Atonement. It's still a shadow of what was to come at the cross. At the passion and the suffering and death of Jesus, he was actually handed over. That's the phrase. He was handed over to Satan and to sinful men. And notice where he died. He died outside the city gates, outside the most holy place, outside with the despised and the dead. In the wilderness of guilt, he died, and bearing the guilt and the full wrath of God against sin, that's where he died. His blood and his life paid the price and bore the sin of the whole world. This is what you're baptized into. You're baptized into Christ so that your sin and death is now his. His resurrection from the dead becomes yours. Notice also in baptism, we sprinkle the water on the head of the child or on the adult. It's sprinkled just like that blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. And yet it was sprinkled on the head just like the sins of the people were put on the head of that goat. But instead of you paying the price, in baptism, you get his life and he gets your death. It's why the pastor puts his hand or his hands on the head of the baptized. It's why in the rite of confession and absolution, the pastor puts his hands on the head of the person who has confessed their sins so that they know that those sins they have confessed have been taken away and placed on the scapegoat. Every time you hear the forgiveness of sins, Christ takes those sins upon himself. Those are the sins, that rebellion that he bore unto his God-forsaken death, which he chose to do, and from which he rose. And so we have hope. So Jesus is your scapegoat. In his name, amen.